Turns out I didn't grab one of the fuck turf posters for you.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Marvel binge buddy Mark Sherman. He's here to talk about the artist of X-Men Gold Number 1 and why that's something to talk about.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
I am a co-host, as usual.
And our returning guest friend, Mark Sherman, is here with us.
Hello.
He's traditionally our Marvel binge buddy, but we're here to talk about something else this time, other than it was like this, or talk about how bad Iron Fist was. So
yeah, something.
So we picked this. We're talking about X-Men Gold Number 1.
Yeah, and the controversy surrounding the artist who decided to have an opinion.
Yeah, or and not even.
Or maybe like the artist who decided, fuck it, I'm gonna put these messages in there. I don't care if they get read as anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean, really, that seems like what it was.
Yeah. There's political backstory that we have to go into before we can even explain what happened in the Marvel comics that is the big to-do.
All right.
And this is going to make this super exciting.
I'm ready.
Right.
I'm ready for political backstory.
There's this guy in Indonesia, in Jakarta.
Mm-hmm.
A-Hawk.
I think he's the mayor of Jakarta?
Governor
of Jakarta, yeah.
And he is the first non-Muslim governor they've had in 50 years.
Okay.
What did he say about... Do you remember the controversial statement that he made?
I think the controversial statement that he made is essentially that... So there is a verse of the Quran that is translated in a wide variety of different ways, but one that has taken particular hold in Indonesia is that... O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians as allies. They are, in fact, allies of one another. And whoever is an ally to them among you, then indeed he is one of them.
Mm. So, very us versus them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my understanding is that depending on whose translation you're looking at or the original Arabic, this can mean a lot of different things, but I think it's fairly well established that in the actual Arabic, the phrase that is translated as ally in this sense is actually one that means a little bit more like legal representative.
Hmm.
And this was Again, this is mostly what I've picked up, not by being a scholar. This is a layperson who's been doing research on this topic because I kind of wanted to see what was happening with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this quote in this context was actually referring to a very specific situation in which there was a forced trade war happening and being discussed in this between the different factions of Muslim and Christian Jews, etc.
This is some medieval, old-timey shit. There's not really a modern-day application of this quote.
Exactly.
It's not relevant.
It's more of a direct historical example and part of that aspect of it. So, in a lot of ways, the original quote is basically just like, yeah, those guys aren't going to be on your side in this particular instance because... Mm. At the time, I guess that made sense.
So part of the problem here is context, that we've taken, even if we assume that the quote is accurately translated, we've removed it from its contextual setting and said, well, we're now going to take this and apply it to all contexts instead of just the context that it is in the original book.
But so the conservative Muslims who don't like this non-Muslim representing them in their government, who also are upset by this statement.
And the statement was essentially that I don't think we should be talking about this. Essentially, he's like, you guys have been using this against me, and I think that's wrong. My understanding.
Yeah. If this is your argument why I shouldn't be representing you, this argument is fallacious because of history or because of interpretation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Since then, he's been held for blasphemy. And has just in the past week been removed.
Oh, right, because there's blasphemy laws in other countries. Yes,
and he's been removed from office.
That's, blasphemy laws are sadly very common in a lot of Islamic countries.
Right. Mm-hmm. So.
So he's no longer the governor.
Of just in the past week.
He was voted out in 4 days ago.
Yes.
According to my web search right before we started recording.
So protests of this guy, they used this quote up on. Protest signs, billboards, that sort of thing.
The quote from the Quran or the quote of the governor?
So you know how, like, in the Bible, they'll say, like, oh, Matthew 15, 1.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
In the Quran, it's QS 5:51.
Okay.
Is this particular verse. So that verse is being used as, like, a rallying cry against this governor.
Okay. Like when people say, like, John 3:14,
exactly.
And they just hold the sign up, and everyone knows what that means,
right.
But yeah, okay.
The largest of these demonstrations against this governor was on December 12th. December 2nd, 2/12. And so these became known as 2/12 protests because of the... It's just like Occupy Wall Street.
Just to be 2/12/2016 or...
2/12/2016.
Okay, past December. Yep. So, why is this relevant to Marvel Comics?
I don't know.
There was also a follow-up protest, actually, that happened on the 21st of February.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they kept the 2/12 thing there as much as they
did. They brought it back around again.
All right. So why
because they probably do the day before the month.
They do the day before the month. Yeah.
So why is this relevant to X-Men Gold number 1, Mark?
So it's relevant to X-Men Gold number 1 because Marvel had hired from what I understand, an up-and-coming artist who's actually worked on Batman books and things like that, a guy whose name I'm hopefully pronouncing correctly as Ardian Siaf. And this artist clearly got a very high-profile job. This is Marvel's major relaunch of the X-Men books after several years of neglect for dumb political reasons related to who owns which companies and which movie franchises.
Political in the sense of, like, the politics of movie making,
political,
which is what we're going to talk about.
X-Men Gold sounds like, you know, hey, check this out. This is a serious...
It's a relaunch. It's number one.
Yeah.
I mean, how many X-Men number one comics are there? Like, at least 150? That's not very much.
So this artist that's been hired by Marvel to do this turns in all of his pages, they go through editing, and they get published. The problem is that he managed to sneak in references to both the Quran passage here as QS... 5:51 on a t-shirt worn by Colossus at one point in the game, at one point in the book when they're playing baseball, and then a couple of other things he managed to squeeze the number 212 as the street address to a jeweler to a jewelry shop which is interestingly framed with a prominent Jewish character, Kitty Pryde, standing in front of it in such a way that her hair frames the jewelry shop in a way that cuts it down to really obviously saying Jew, labeled right next to her. And
she is Jewish.
It's
a big deal about that in the comics.
And then essentially he got away with it and started snickering to his fans.
I was just about to say. So did someone parse it, or did he start saying, "Look what I did"?
His fans, who he's become a bit of a minor celebrity in Indonesia because of his success in comics industry. He's actually apparently very well known for being sort of a philanthropist. Like, he teaches arts education to students to children and things like that. And so he's pretty popular of a guy as far as comic book artists in Jakarta are concerned. So some of his fans picked up on this messaging in there fairly quickly, and he started responding to it. And a few more socially conscious members of that community started reporting it back and broadcasting to Marvel that you should know that this made it into your comics. And that sort of blew up from there with lots of commentary from fellow Marvel artists and writers and just people across the industry. Hell, Rob Liefeld took the time out of his busy life to importantly comment several times about how wrong he thought all of this was.
Oh, he thought it was wrong.
He did.
Okay, good.
A man so busy he draws while driving.
Yes.
You know, he can be a terrible artist and a good guy. I mean, that's
has nothing to do with drawing.
I'm a terrible artist and arguably a good guy. So
I'm a great artist and a terrible person.
See,
it's not
true.
I can't draw.
So, well, one of the folks when we were talking about this before we started recording, Mark, one of the folks you mentioned that has chimed in on this that kind of matters is the creator of Miss Marvel.
Yep. The current Ms. Marvel series, G. Willow Wilson, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
G. Willow Wilson is the
current writer or the creator?
Current writer.
But
she's also
the
creator, I believe, of Kamala Khan,
the
character. So I think when they were relaunching that series, they reached out to her, or rather she had the idea, I believe. And
Kamala Khan is the
Yeah, that's the page.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to put this page on the
I have the original black and whites of that, too, before they were colored, if you... Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
So Jewel Wilson is a prominent comics writer. She's been writing for a number of years now. I think she actually might have done one of like the Buffy comic
relaunches.
But she's been around, kicking around for a while now, but she is widely known as being a female Muslim writer of comic books, and she's had a very strong perspective on this. And actually her blog posts on this topic are absolutely worth reading because they give an awful lot of context on translation versus context and the actual meanings behind a lot of these things.
So what have her opinions been about this? Does she think that it's just, you know, he's just trying to, you know, do a shout out to Muslim fans as opposed to like it's not anti-Semitic signaling? What does she think?
I believe her first quote was, fuck this guy.
Awesome.
I think that was her quote on Twitter initially before she went to Tumblr to blog about it at great length.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it is what you hear oftentimes from many moderate or liberal Muslims is that this guy is cherry-picking quotes to pull things out and basically keep this spirit of us against them going, and he's doing this wrong. He is essentially working outside of his own faith.
Well, and it's no different to me. It's no different than the you know, fundamentalist Christians who say things like, oh, Leviticus, you know, whatever it is, you shall not lie with a man, like with a woman, therefore Jesus says don't be gay. And it's like, you have tattoos and are wearing mixed fibers, which also is in that same passage, so like I can't listen to you. Do you eat shrimp? You do, of course, so you're fine. But then also toward Muslims, there's a lot of Christians I know who are like, who will assert to me they have read the parts of the Quran that insist that you know, things like there have to be a jihad and like you have to kill anyone who's not a Muslim. That's in their book. So this cherry picking, it's interesting to see it coming from all sides. Mm-hmm. You know, for this book, I don't want to be like, it's good to see it happening to something other than the goddamn Bible.
When you have a holy book that you're supposed to have very, very strong feelings about, but also some of it's not to be taken literally. P.S. which parts aren't is kind of up to your interpretation. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a recipe for disaster, regardless of what's written in the book.
So there's a lot to unpack here. We've got the situation in Indonesia where a guy is basically being, was railroaded out of office for being the wrong faith.
By fatwa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, declared fatwa, yeah.
By declared fatwa against him.
Yeah.
So it's an organized religious effort.
Because he said, I don't think you interpreted this passage correctly. And they basically said, well, you're a Christian. What the fuck do you know?
Or even, hey, this passage that you're using this way doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
It could. This doesn't have to divide us. And people's response to that was, you're spoiling our holy word.
Is Hawk Christian or was he Jewish?
Christian.
He was Christian.
He's of Chinese descent.
Yep.
So an interesting, another thing about the artist, about Saif, is These pages were drawn after he attended a protest in Jakarta.
Yep,
one of these 212 protests.
He attended the 21-2 protest. Yeah, February 2nd.
Okay.
February 21st.
If he were to say, no, I'm not one of the people that believes this more conservative interpretation, that's kind of out the window by his association and his travel and his time.
I don't really he was fired, right?
He was fired.
And he's been on Twitter. He's basically said that his career is over,
which is interesting when you consider that he sounds like he's sorry, not sorry for all of this.
Yeah.
Because some of the quotes that I've read from him translate to roughly like, "I am so sad that I don't have a job right now. However, I am not sad that I supported my faith in the way that I think was appropriate."
Sure, like that bitch,
the
chick who got fired for not letting gay people get a marriage license.
Courthouse.
She was like, no, I know that
She was like, I'm totally willing to lose my job, except I'm going to go to court
I'm sorry I had to face consequences for this.
I'm sorry there were consequences for me being an asshole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we also should point out the quote, which out of context, can definitely be interpreted as anti-Christian, mm-hmm. anti-Semitic, is on Colossus, the quote from the Quran.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Who's been romantically linked to Kitty Pryde,
yes.
correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So there seems to be a comment. By choosing Colossus over
yeah.
another character, you know, even a background character,
mm-hmm.
by choosing Colossus
yeah.
as somebody who has had a relationship with a Jewish character,
you're looking at the allying of what is essentially a Christian and a Jew yeah. in a comic.
Yep. Well, and, you know, there's... Most people seem to agree that seeing as Ardian is only really talking about these instances and these images, that these are the only ones that he really added in there. But a lot of people since this time have been combing through the issue looking for other subliminal
sure.
context for it. And something else that a lot of people are pointing to is, again, in this baseball sequence, Kurt Wagner, Nightcrawler, his character, who is of German ancestry, at one point in there takes a swing with the bat. But if you're looking in the background, you'll see that Kitty's sitting on the bench in one panel, and the next one, when he finishes the swing, she's now being completely covered up by the bat. So some people are interpreting
like he's hitting her in the face.
Exactly. And that might be a little bit of a stretch, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly the guy is actively thinking about how he can hide messages like this in a way to produce some sort of impact, but I just don't know if he's
I don't know. The panel where he's being really clearly identifying Kitty as a Jew,
mm-hmm.
is... I mean, it's hard to interpret that as anything but anti-Semitic. The fact that
yeah.
you feel the need to call that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this is one of those times where I'm like, okay, sure. You, as an artist, as a creator, you have the right to attempt to create your art however you see fit. And if that's what you want to do and put those messages in, sure. But again, no consequence-free
yeah.
living. Mm-hmm. And you're an asshole and you're going to lose your job. I mean, it's...
So
yeah.
People have... there's a lot of screenshots of this guy talking about it on his personal page or in messages and stuff like that. And, I mean, he claims that he told Marvel the truth of the meaning of the number before the pages were published, which I find a very hard time believing.
Hope he's got emails.
And he said, I don't hate the Jew or Christian. I worked with him for 10 years and I have a lot of good friends.
He's got Jewish friends, guys.
Right.
But, don't worry about it. Donald Trump knows a black guy.
But, you know.
O.J. Simpson. good friends.
This guy said, you know, like, it's not every day you get to talk to someone and admire about your work. I'd love to get more of an explanation about this. And he's like, I want to put this in my work because this verse that he mocked is a very special memory for me. And I want to put that in my book. And not everyone would hear the truth like you. Most people just want to say dirty words to me. And most people aren't willing to ask me why I put this in here. But like...
Does he say why? Other than it's
other than
personal.
He wants to show them that he's...
But the problem is he says
wants to include
this verse that he mocked, and my understanding is he didn't mock the verse.
He means the
governor.
The governor.
Right, that's what I mean.
Ahok.
So it doesn't sound like Ahok mocked the verse. It sounds like that what we have here is basically... the problem with... And this is a problem with conservative religious thought. Not just...
Mm.
We should be clear that it's not just a problem with
yeah.
conservative Muslim thought.
Yeah.
But the the fact that any criticism of their religion or their interpretation is perceived as mocking.
Yep.
And then can be taken to the extreme. Mm. That you know, so it starts with he is putting this in there because he feels that he was being mocked. He's not willing to accept any other context for what the governor said.
Right. Or anyone else.
And we're supposed to accept his context. You know, like,
yeah. We're supposed to know his content. Yeah.
And accept it when he tells us what it is if we are like, I don't get what you're doing here. And then be like, oh, you're right. It is cool. Like,
yeah. Mark, do you think, I'm sorry, Tim, did you have a...
No. I'm just
yeah, trying to puzzle it all out.
Yeah, because it's all dumb. So
this happened on the heels of, like, Marvel's vice president, David Gabriel, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, like, diversity is done at Marvel. And not in so many words.
That's
but
not what he. I mean,
he said, "What we heard is people don't want any more diversity." I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what we saw in sales: is that people don't want diversity.
Right, but then so, he did. Later that same day, he released a statement in which he's like, "We're still committed to diversity." I'm not excusing.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
he said.
No. I mean, it's, yeah.
The way I've been interpreting that particular fight personally has been like, this is someone who said something stupid without realizing that there were exactly cameras on that he needed to be more careful parsing his words.
Yeah,
the things that Marvel has said and their current lineup of books suggests that they are at least on the surface committed to some idea of diversity, and whether or not that is successful in the way that they're going about it is a completely different question of debate right here. But this sounds an awful lot like a marketing guy who doesn't know how to discuss topics sensitively to a room full of people that are basically gathered there to say your books aren't selling and we think it's because of this.
We have all these correlations in our sales data. It's pointing us towards maybe these things. He said that awkwardly, but if Marvel is dedicated to diversity, does that include a diversity of thought, including unpopular ideas or controversial ideas, like, say, if what he's included in the art of X-Men Gold? Is it still diversity, even if what they're including in this diverseness isn't necessarily positive or has these hang-ups?
All right. Part of what he's doing has an unquestionable anti-Semitic content.
Right. I mean,
it really does. So part of your problem is how much of the comic industry is Jewish?
The founding fathers of superhero comics are all Jewish.
And I'm not sure how many of the people running DC and Marvel right now are, but the point is that you just fired an arrow at the power brokers, theoretically, in comics. So that's a problem to begin with. Now, should it get you fired? I don't know. I think the problem is that when you make these kind of statements and readers respond to them negatively, you could lose your job.
You can put your
opinions out there if you want. If you think that that Nazis are awesome, then you can find a way to put that into comics, or I don't know, make Captain America Nazi. I don't think that says anyway, but that's a different episode. But if you want to put that in there, that's fine. But it's the whole thing of consequence. It's not consequence free. There were consequences for choosing to put his opinion out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, the question, like, does Marvel need to commit to being diverse in their thought? I don't think they need to. You know, and so, I mean, they don't need to commit to being diverse in their books and their authors and their artists. I mean, honestly, they're a company. They can do what they want. So the question is, I guess they need to be thinking about what's going to sell and what's going to keep their brand looking good. And what doesn't keep your brand looking good, even if it does sell, is anti-Semitic shit in your comics.
Yeah.
And then just being like, well, we're committed to a diversity of thought here. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that starts to... So I think that there's... it's good that they clearly are committed to diversity. I wish they were committed to a little less diversity in number of titles, new titles and reboots they put out. Because Jesus, I can't keep up.
But yeah, maybe that has more to do with their lagging sales.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say when I read that. Be like, yeah, diversity is a problem. You keep renewing these books and like you keep putting out 0.1 versions of shit. This, I don't care.
I can't keep track of what numbers I don't, mean anything.
Yeah, they don't mean anything anymore. There's your diversity
problem. Diversity of ongoing crossover events.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, we can talk about Nick Spencer's secret empire.
It's weird how our podcast didn't solve racial harmony.
If anything, we made it worse.
Great.
So, Mark, are you ready for our new five questions?
New five questions.
I'm going to try to be.
You are the first guest to answer our new five questions.
Yeah. Molly, that's amazing. Kick it off.
Question number one: which conspiracy theory do you find most interesting?
Oh, reptilians. All the way.
Oh, yeah.
The secret ones?
That's one of my favorites.
Lizard people?
Like, lizard people, yeah. There's something about just the insanity of questioning. It's sort of the great big ball of wax in here, isn't it? It's like secret government, people aren't who they say they are. It's just like,
it's like everything. It's like, you know, the lizard people fake the moon landing. The lizard people are at the root of all.
It's the Illuminati.
It ties to like ancient dinosaur stuff and alien stuff, at the same time.
It's
true. Yeah. It's good.
It's just everything.
People living in the center of the earth or cross dimensional travel.
So the one thing it doesn't cross is that flat earther thing, because they actually are living in the. So flat earthers and reptilian people can have a real fight about
it. They can have a big old fight.
Flat earthers are a close second, but probably that's too easy to disprove.
Sure.
But you can only...
You mean like with a boat?
Yeah.
There's a difference between... you're saying there's a difference between like idiocy and lunacy.
Correct.
I get that.
Idiocy is on Earth and lunacy is the moon.
Yeah. I can watch 10-minute videos about how George W. Bush was a snake
When they freeze photos, and they're like, as you can see right here, bone structure clearly evidenced under the skin.
Or like you can tell that maybe he was having problems with his digital implants and his phase shifting is failing or something.
It's so great.
One of the lizard people things that went around that was when Jay-Z and Beyonce, Baby Blue Ivy was born, and they were talking about how Jay-Z and Beyonce's first child is going to be the lizard person Illuminati leader of the New World Order.
Lizard people.
Like, she's being born and groomed to take her seat at the head of... It's so great!
Fantastic.
This is the best. All right. Number two, money being no object, but physics being a limiting factor, what is your perfect two-week vacation?
I'll keep it simple on this, because I still want to do it. Japan. I want to go exploring Japan. Maybe a little less time in the population centers, Tokyo and things like that. But like,
you want to go Ronin and wander the land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It seems like it's a place that is very far removed from what I'm used to. But I still have some cultural touchstones that I would appreciate doing there. I mean, I could travel my own family lineage back to Eastern Europe, but to be perfectly honest, I'm anything close to Russia these days. That shit's dangerous.
No kidding.
I have a friend who was in Tokyo and just outside Tokyo for a year for school at Sophia University, and she has a lot of stories about it's a very alien culture, very different in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of culture shock. And she, you know, was stared at a lot and that sort of thing. Things that would seem rude here that are kind of cultural norms there. So
sure.
2 weeks would be enough time to, like, get wannabe done and come back.
experience being a 6-foot-tall person in a country that's mostly 5'6".
There's something to be said about feeling like an outsider. It's kind of a unique experience. I like that. Question number three. What's a movie that changed your life?
Movie or book?
If there's one that fits better.
Yeah. Or TV series. We really don't care.
Yeah. Fair enough. Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson.
Sure.
It hit me at a point in my life where, frankly, I was not a reader at this time, yeah. and this was one of the books that sort of turned me into it. Like, I just wasn't interested in reading books when I was a kid. I had video games and other things like that that were more interesting to me at the time, and I would make arguments all day long about how, no, I play Japanese role-playing games. That's like
There's
reading a novel.
Plenty of reading, yeah.
But, like, reading like, actual literature that made sense to me and hit on the things that I was interested in opened me up to the idea of reading more books. And, you know, I'm usually reading two or three at a time these days. I go through so many. And, you know, that's definitely changed the trajectory of how I processed literature in a lot of ways.
That's awesome.
There's two things that the United States does better than anyone else: pizza delivery and microcode. It's such a great, like, the opening to the book is.
Yeah, unfortunately now it's mostly just the pizza delivery part.
No joke.
All right, question four, Mark. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
So I think it was like 2007 or so. A friend and I made a trip to one of the first Penny Arcade Expos out in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the first day of the con didn't start until like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. on that, because it was like year three or something of it. So we had just like a day and a half in Seattle with nothing to do.
Mm.
We took a pilgrimage out to Microsoft and we visited the mothership.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was...
That's super geeky.
Yeah, it was. We also hit up Nintendo, too. But the fun part about Nintendo's visitor center is it's basically just a repair shop. But they have a couple of, like, you know, here's a DS that survived a fire in Afghanistan.
That's cool.
But for the most part, it's just like a service desk with some memorabilia.
Hang on, was the DS burned because it was blaspheming? Or I'm sorry.
I think the DS might have just been like a house fire. Oh, okay. But the fact that it was still functional is testament to Nintendo's build quality.
Sure.
But
that's awesome.
Too bad your saves wouldn't transfer.
But yeah, the Nintendo thing was fine. Everybody likes Nintendo. But going to Microsoft was interesting. Like, I was deeply into my Zune at the time.
Oh, boy.
So they were really hitting that hard on there. But it was also like, they had early tablet computers there before anyone else was doing this stuff. And like this ridiculous wall of like pocket PCs.
Oh.
And
that's really
like
cool.
That. It was a dumb thing. There was not anything to do there that was super interesting. But it was like, yeah, let's go see Microsoft's Visitor Center, which was way larger than it needed to be.
Yeah.
But they had all kinds of weird experiments and stuff set up on there. It was kind of cool, but definitely like one of the nerdiest
things.
That is really
the ironic thing about the Microsoft Visitor Center: no Windows.
Yeah. I'm really excited that Tim is the one asking Mark.
I know,
his final
I was
question.
Noticing that
yeah.
one.
No, this is excellent because neither one of you drinks.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, what's your favorite hangover cure?
Not drinking.
Yay!
Sorry, I'm a teetotaler without the name. I never really liked to
He's
learn
such
to
a
drink,
hardcore
so.
Straight edge kid.
Yeah.
He's got like X's in the backs of his hands right now, you
oh,
guys.
Oh, God.
Actually, I tattooed them on the backs of my calves.
Yeah.
You know,
His legal name is XX Mark Sherman XX.
The X's are tattooed on the back of your legs. That way they can only be seen when you pass out face down.
Oh, shit. That guy, that drunk guy is straight edge.
Hey, wait a minute. He shouldn't be drinking. Oh, that's awesome. Thanks for your answers, Mark.
Yeah.
And thanks for being our guest again to talk about crazy
Marvel stuff,
religious political things happening in comics at the moment. Otherwise, do we have a new Patreon person to thank? I don't think we do. No one knew this month.
But we are over 50, which means we're going to be doing a special
episode. Which we are actually talking right now with Real Ghost Tours to schedule our ghost hunt, where we will take it seriously and go and actually try to communicate with spirits from beyond and see if we can legitimately use a machine to measure ghosts.
We had a date picked out. It might not work out with them, but we're
working on it.
It's weird, you guys. The people who run the ghost tours are less than responsive to stuff sometimes.
It's weird. And that's going to be like a special episode that only Patreon supporters can hear.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
That'll be just on the Patreon site. And if you want to get in on that before it happens, or you want like Geeks Without God buttons or stickers and stuff, you can check us out at patreon.com. Just look for Geeks Without God there. you guys who are our supporters are responsible for the button maker we have, which Molly and I went to the March for Science yesterday, and we gave out like 30 or 40 buttons. Yay. Where we ran into atheist folks or saw people with clearly, you know, godless science signs there, which was super fun, and it was a beautiful day for it.
It was great.
Otherwise, we'll keep you posted on Patreon stuff as it goes forward. We're Geeks Without God. Please consider leaving us a little bit of feedback on iTunes. It's been a while since anyone's left a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But beyond that, we're on Facebook and Twitter. You know where to find us there. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Professor Xavier is a jerk.
We don't have to listen to what you say because you're allied with our enemies.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
What a fucking idiot. Did you not want your job?